Manx Radio Sport.
Hi, this is Rob Pritchard, sports editor at Manx Radio. It's been another busy year and exciting journey for Isle of Man sport in 2025. Plenty of talking points and highlights from the last 12 months. Over the next hour, we'll be taking a look back at some of those big moments, as well as hearing from our team of pundits to get their thoughts on the year that has unfolded. But before that though, let's dive into some of the highlights. This is the 2025 Manx Radio Sports Review of the Year. The calendar started in January with a serious message for Manx football, with the president of the Isle of Man FA saying the 12 months ahead could be an important time for the development of the Manx game.
The criticism that we receive where clubs can't field first teams, clubs that can't field combination teams, it's not really the FA's fault, but we need to try and find some reason behind it and try and help these clubs. Junior football is absolutely thriving, so we need to somehow retain a lot more players.
Plenty more on the football side to come. In motorsport, the year got off to a fantastic start for local organisation Manx Autosport, who found out they won a national award for a second year running, with the Manx Rally claiming the 2024 Best Pro Tyre Asphalt Rally Championship event. Meanwhile, in athletics, Manx competitor Georgia Price went on to set a national record on her debut athletics meeting, setting a new women's indoor triple jump record of 11.33 metres at the Northern Athletics Indoor Championships in Sheffield. The turn of the year marked a milestone for women's cricket locally, as the Isle of Man women's national side prepares to make its first ever appearance at the ICC Women's T20 World Cup qualifiers. Isle of Man Cricket Development Officer Greg Wright said at the time they hope it would raise the profile of the women and girls game here.
We've been three series we've had televised and they've all been very well viewed, but we're hoping that something of this magnitude, being a World Cup qualifier, it'll be far more accessible. We're going to go out of our way to make sure that it's more openly accessible for people to see it, so we're hoping that people will watch it and want to get involved in it.
Back to athletics, and an Ireland runner who's made plenty of headlines in recent years did so again, as Sarah Astin went and broke her own women's 10km road race record at the Valencia 10k, going 15 seconds quicker than her previous record set in March 2023. In mid-January, there was also double Manx success at the grueling Spine Race Challenge in the UK, with Nikki Arthur completing the main challenge at the first attempt.
It was a roller coaster, emotionally and physically. I had quite a lot of physical issues in the first couple of days. Really, really heavy snow, lots of ice, really challenging conditions, underfoot on the first day. Second day into the race, I fainted at a checkpoint and was sick a few times and things like that, and then was really worried that maybe my race was going to finish there, but I sort of drew on my previous experience and went out into the sort of second night and sort of picked up from there. And you expect that it should feel good and then feel bad, then feel good again. And it's big, massive, high finishing something like that, as I'm sure you can imagine.
Also, former Manx Commonwealth athlete Graham Hatcher finishes the separate Spine Challenger North race. Back to football, and a change to the men's national team as head coach Blaine Slattery resigns and is replaced by Chris Bass Jr., who takes up a role as player manager on an interim basis. And in cycling, Manx pro rider Tyler Hannay begins a new chapter as he signs for UCI team 7-Eleven Click Road Bike Philippines for the latest upcoming campaign. In motorsport, February started with a change to road racing in the south of the island as the Southern 100 retakes control of all racing on the Balloon course.
It's good to be able to revert back to being organisers, so everything comes under our control, and we're looking forward to picking up where we left off. Present club, we've been running it since 1981 and it built it up to the status it is now. And this was just put on us 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, to alleviate some of the problems that were between the government and the ACU at the time. So they thought it was a good idea and we went along with it. And we subsequently have reverting back now to the status quo.
In athletics, Krista Kane continues her sharp rise in the endurance racing scene as she sets a new Manx women's over 35's 10km road race record of 36 minutes and 15 seconds whilst competing in London. Early February also saw the first trophy of 2025 in women's football decided as Peel beat rivals Corinthians 2-0 at the Bowl in Douglas to lift the Women's Floodlit Cup. Some big news arrived in two-wheeled racing when it was announced that TT outright lap record holder Peter Hickman and 2024 senior TT champion Davey Todd had split from FHO Racing just a few months before TT 2025. It was also confirmed the two would be setting up the new 810 Racing Squad with support from BMW Motorrad to take on the TT, other road racing events and BSB for 2025. More achievements in athletics also came as Regan Corrin smashed his own Ireland record for the men's indoor long jump by clearing 7.28 metres at the England Athletics Indoor Track and Field Championships in Sheffield to take the gold medal in the men's under 20 long jump competition. One of the Isle of Man's up-and-coming rugby talents gets a shot at the big time, as former Southern Nomads and Castle Rushen player Patrice Bell makes his senior debut for Sale Sharks in a victory over Newcastle Falcons. In cricket, local side Peel and St John's marked their European Cricket League debut with a win against Romanian side ACC Bucharest in Spain. At the end of the month saw one of the biggest events on the Ireland's sporting calendar, the 2024 Isle of Man Sports Awards at the Villa Marina in Douglas. 14 accolades were awarded on the night, with cycling legend Sir Mark Cavendish winning both the 2024 Isle of Man Sportsman of the Year Award and the Lifetime Achievement Award, following his historic 35th Tour de France victory last year.
The Sports Awards is always a great evening because, you know, you almost take for granted what an incredibly sporting nation we are for 85,000 people. You know, when you see the achievements that every athlete here has, it makes you proud, you know. We're a little island that loves sports and a little island that punches well above its weight, and we have the backing of a government that believes in sport, and it's a pretty nice thing to be part of.
Meanwhile, equestrian star Yasmin Ingham won the 2024 Isle of Man Sportswoman of the Year title, following a year in which she was a reserve member of the Great Britain eventing squad, which won gold at the 2024 Olympics in Paris.
It's been an amazing year. I've got a brilliant string of horses who I'm super, super lucky to ride. Of course, the late Sue Davies, who I ride for, she's been an incredible support of me over the past 10 years, and I continue to ride her horses in her name, which is very special to me. And I look forward to the next few years competing the horses in her name and continuing her legacy.
Heading into March, and in football, it was a difficult start to the month for Moraine as they saw their relegation from the Canada Life Men's Premier League confirmed. In martial arts, Isle of Man Jiu Jitsu Club Summit Grappling Academy was successful in the IBJJF London International Open, and the club brought home an impressive 10 medals, which include 3 golds, 3 silvers, and 4 bronzes, as well as a third place trophy in the teen division. Also, March saw the return of the annual and ever popular Isle of Man Festival of Darts at the Villa Marina, seeing top players from the UK, Ireland, Europe, and the US battle it out for top honours in a tournament which has previously welcomed the likes of Luke Littler, Phil Taylor, Fallon Sherrick, and Beau Greaves in the past. In something rather different, it's announced that, for the first time, the Isle of Man will host a round of the World Downhill Skateboarding Championships later in the year. Selim Kamali is the event's promoter.
In my opinion, this is probably the most spectacular non-motorized race event that you can have. These guys are hitting speeds of in excess of 70 to 75 miles an hour, and the luges are even faster than the skaters. So I think the residents are in for a treat. For a non-motorized sport, I don't think you can get more spectacular and adrenaline-filled.
Special Olympics Isle of Man claimed multiple medals at the World Winter Games in Turin, Italy, with Dylan Butler securing 2 gold medals among the highlights. In hockey, the first men's and women's league titles are wrapped up in March as Castletown Ladies A and Castletown Ladies B win the Women's Premier League and Women's Division 1 respectively. And in football, after final defeat heartache in the Women's Floodlit Cup a month earlier, Corinthians got their hands on another piece of silverware, the Women's FA Cup, defeating Malou in the 2025 final at the Bowl. Meanwhile, the FA confirms it's working to get more involved in refereeing when it comes to the women and girls game, and we spoke at the time to Isle of Man Referee Development Officer Liam Thomas.
Building a women's pathway in the game development group, somewhere where females are comfortable to start off with, and they can start where they want. So they can start junior football, they can start straight into women's football, they can start in all the different pathways. There's a proper pathway now. To be able to sustain women's football on the islands, we've got to play a key part in the referee part of it. So working with female players at the minute, working with the female academy, working with high schools and targeting specific age groups, we can really do with girls and women from any age group from 14 upwards.
Moving on, and boxer Matthew Rennie puts his title fight loss in late 2024 behind him as he starts 2025 with a points win over Octavian Grati in Gibraltar. An Isle of Man athlete, Joshua Holden, gets selected to represent Great Britain in the summer at the International Shooting Sport Federation Junior World Cup. And in men's football, Peel are confirmed as Canada Life Men's Premier League champions, whilst Braddon are crowned Ardern and Drug Unlimited Division 2 winners and secure their return to the top flight for the following campaign. The start of April saw athlete Sarah Aston break her own women's 10,000-metre record for the second time in 2 months, this time setting a new benchmark at the 10 race in California.
I think, obviously, this new coach was probably the biggest change I've made in the last year or so. Also, actually, that on top of the fact that I'm able to work part-time now, thanks to a few things, so Isle of Man Sport Aid being one. It's not just one thing. I think there's been a few changes I've made in the last 18 months or so now, which is finally feels like it's starting to pay off. I just had to be quite patient with it all.
There's league success for the Isle of Man 1 badminton squad as they take the Division 2 North title in the Badminton England County Championships. And a big moment came in April for one of the Isle of Man's latest rising cycling talents, as 2023 Commonwealth Youth Games medalist Ruby Oakes makes her debut on the Women's World Tour at the Tour of Flanders in Belgium for the Das Hutchinson Continental Team. The month of April saw another big twist when it came to news ahead of the 2025 Isle of Man TT races, as the WTF, with the Future Racing Team, announces it's cancelling its road racing plans. One of their riders was former TT winner James Hillier.
Firstly, a big thank you to all the messages of support, and the phone's been pretty crazy since yesterday afternoon. Where I stand at the minute, I don't quite know. It's a work in progress. I will share what I can with you when I can, and hopefully in the coming days I'll have some good news. But I need to get thinking hat on and raising some funds, really, because that's going to be the biggest thing, which is certainly in today's economic climate is not easy.
April this year also marked the conclusion of the latest men's and women's hockey league seasons. Among the winners, after the women's top two titles were decided the month before, Backers A are crowned men's Premier League winners, whilst Vikings B claimed the men's Division 1 crown. In rugby, Douglas round out a positive campaign in Regional 2 North West with a home win over Firwood Waterloo at Portishee to claim a highest ever finish in the division of 6th. More athletics records tumble as David Malarkey breaks the Manx men's 10,000-metre track record, posting a time of 27 minutes 51.8 seconds in California to overhaul the previous record from Keith Gerrard that had stood since 2011. Swinging back to football, and Corinthians women's team add to their previous women's FA Cup success to take back the Canada Life Women's League trophy, securing the silverware with a 1-1 draw against previous champions Peel. The 2025 Manx Rally takes place with 2 days of action-packed four-wheeled racing on closed road stages across the Isle of Man, with Irish pairing Gary Jennings and Rory Kennedy winning to take top honours. There's Cheshire competition final heartache for local rugby sides Southern Nomads and Ramsey, who fall at the final hurdle in the Cheshire Bowl and Cheshire Vars finals respectively. Away from the local leagues in football, despite a challenging end to their latest NWCFL Premier Division season, which saw them win just 2 matches in 2025, FC Isle of Man confirmed manager Paul Jones will remain in charge of the first team going into the following campaign.
We played lots of different ways this season in terms of how we've had to unpick defences, and we've just not finished the ball in the back of the net, and that's it. And then when that happens, you put yourself under an awful lot of pressure, and mistakes, you know, are highlighted a little bit more. And
how do you look forward to the next few months and then to the beginning of the sort of next season?
We've got our plans in place ready for pre-season, so it's just a case of switching that on when we're ready to switch back on. And you know, the league doesn't get any easier. We just need to keep improving and hope that our improvement as players and development as coaches is at a faster rate than the other teams.
Back to the Manx leagues in football, and in fact the cup competitions, as men's Premier League champions elect Peel are beaten in this year's ECAP FA Cup final after a stunning comeback sees Northerners Ayr United lift the silverware. Isle of Man women's cricketer Lucy Barnett writes herself into the T20 history books, at the time becoming the fastest women's T20I player to 1,000 runs and the highest T20I career batting average. And at the end of the month, athletics competitor Krista Kane hit the headlines again as she broke her own Manx women's marathon record at the iconic London Marathon in a time of 2 hours, 37 minutes and 25 seconds. As May arrived, so did one of the major events on the local cycling calendar. The 2025 Isle of Man Youth and Junior Tour welcomed some of the biggest talents in the sport from on island and further afield for 3 days of racing. The tour's co-organiser Rob Holden described the ongoing importance of the event.
It's a British series, so it's all the best kids from the UK. To do it on home ground is a big deal for them. There's plenty of riders to look out for, and I don't want to highlight any particular ones, but you know, we've got quite high hopes for a few of them. A few of them are on the first ladder of British cycling's development. development squads. They'll all put pressure on themselves to do really well because it's the home race, but just get stuck in and any results you get out of it is great.
By the time the month of May rolled around, the Isle of Man Ladies B hockey team had booked their place in the final of the England Hockey Women's Tier 3 Plate competition, hoping to bring national silverware back to the island. But it was to end in agonising defeat as they suffered a loss on penalty shuffles to Sunbury and Walton Hawks' first 11 in London. In motorsport, as preparations for many continue to ramp up for the Isle of Man TT races in a few weeks' time, numerous Manx competitors joined fellow TT stars at the 2025 Northwest 200 in Northern Ireland. During that same event, the question was put to TT legend John McGuinness about his future in the sport and, in a message which no doubt delighted many fans, he told BBC Sport Northern Ireland he has no plans to retire.
I thought by now I'd be going backwards, but I still have the enthusiasm. I still have, you know, I've been out, I know I'm a bit heavy in that, but I still go out on my enduro bike, I still ride, I still feel bike fit, I feel, still feel strong. I mean, I wouldn't be sat here with a number one plate on Honda if I wasn't warranting the job.
Adding to the TT hype was Michael Dunlop, as he confirmed in early May his plans for this year's meeting, a year on from becoming the most successful TT rider of all time. And his TT achievements were further cemented in the month of May, as he has a corner named after him on the Snaefell Mountain course.
Yeah, obviously, the course only has so many signs on it, so to get the chance to be one of them, it's an honour. Obviously, last year was breaking the record. Nice place to put it, I think. I think it's sort of suits my racing career. It's been a tough climb the whole time, but obviously it's nice here. Obviously, we've got two Dunlops here. Obviously, Joey having his section, and then obviously me having mine. So it's not many family names that get a chance to have two of them actually on the race circuit. So it's a big thing for the legacy, really.
Back on Ireland and in rugby, Douglas added to their strong league finish in Regional 2 Northwest with a convincing win over Vagabonds in the 2025 Manx Cup final. Also in May, the Manx Youth Games return for 2025 in an occasion that sees hundreds of youngsters across the island getting involved in sporting events across Manx shores. Manx Sport and Recreation's Sports Development Officer, Gareth Lloyd, explained why the community and social feel of the games is so important each year.
It's massively important. It's been a pound since it originated back all them years ago. It's something what we're very thankful to our sponsors of at Sporting Club who give us the opportunity to keep the cost down. But yeah, it's one of the main barriers what we try and make sure is no pressure at all for families. Us at MSR don't take any of the money. It all goes back into the sport.
In football, Braddon secured a league and cup double, adding the Paul Henry Gold Cup to their Division 2 title, whilst Laxey retained the Hospital Cup, beating Ramsey in a repeat of the final of 12 months previous. Elsewhere and back to motorsport, James Hillier, having seen his previous road racing plans with WTF Racing scuppered, the former TT winner secures new avenues to compete with Muck Off Racing and Bournemouth Kawasaki. From one rider in to one rider out, as TT frontrunner Jamie Coward is ruled out of the 2025 TT races due to injury. In triathlon, Manxman Will Draper earns a Great Britain call-up for the Elite World Triathlon Long Distance Championships in June. And in boxing, for the first time ever, the Isle of Man gets its first WBC champion, as Australia-based Sam Rennie defeats Asia Ullerman to claim the WBC Australasia Silver Super Featherweight belt. Now, we've heard the word motorsport plenty of times already, but late May is where things really kicked in. First off, with the pre-TT Classic road races at the Balown course, marking the start of the latest Manx road racing season.
Engage gear, flipped around, watch the lights, the revs go up, and that's a strong start by Harley Rushton in the middle of the front row. Let's go to Chris Kinley.
Yeah, he's a big lad, is Harley on the number 7 machine, the Craven Matchless. Let's see what he's got. It says Matchless, but it's Sealy. I think he's on it. But it's Overspeed, Loader, and then Rushton. Overspeed, Loader, and Rushton were your top three when they went past us. He might have got a good start, but it's Alan Overspeed who's got to the front.
And here is our winner. It is Alan Overspeed, a 16th victory at the pre-TT Classic Racers.
Riders battled with 3 days of tough weather conditions to bring 3 days of two- and three-wheeled racing action, with Alan Overspeed, Grant Thompson and Will Loader among the winners, to name just a few. And as the weekend there drew to a close, the end of May and start of June could only mean one thing.
Good morning and welcome from the grandstand in Douglas. I'm Dave Moore, and it gives me great delight to say that this year's Isle of Man TT races are officially underway.
The return of the Isle of Man TT races for 2025 at the end of May look to promise yet another 2 weeks of thrilling road racing action on the hallowed tarmac of the Snaefell mountain course. However, Mother Nature wasn't playing ball right from the start.
We would have had a different schedule for today, but rain is supposedly on its way, and that's why they're only going to get one lap.
And that kind of set the tone, really.
The news is not great, unfortunately. Gary Thompson, the clerk of the course, has just been on the PA to announce that more showers have come into the west of the island. As a result, the roads are damp or wet at Sarah's Cottage, Lamfell and Croncavoddy, so they are not going to be able to race this afternoon on the TT course. No racing this afternoon.
I just want to thank, firstly, the public for your patience and resilience. Obviously, we've had a difficult week so far.
I don't think there'll be any lap records today.
It hasn't got into flow, but equally, and this testament to everybody involved, everybody's been patient, everybody's been resilient.
The wind's obviously pushing me back and trying to throw me off the back of the bike, but more like a hanging on match at the minute. But yeah, we're going to try and lift the front of the fairing here just to try and take a bit of wind off me.
We are at the greatest motor sport event in the world. We are doing what we can to get the event on in the most difficult of circumstances.
Riders, organisers and spectators alike played a continuous game of cat and mouse with the conditions over the TT fortnight this year. Despite all those challenges, we saw new memories made on the mountain course. Having become the most successful rider of all time at the event a year ago, Michael Dunlop surpassed 30 TT victories in 2025, further etching his name into TT immortality by winning both Supersport and both Super Twin races.
Absolutely pinned the Milwaukee Ducati. My thunder, it's 30. 30 TT wins for Michael Dunlop.
Milwaukee guys really wanted to, you know, they made an effort with the Ducati and really wanted me to win around the TT, and they took all faith in me to have a go, and between them and Quattro and Cheshire Mullins, we and the boys about the lovely wee bike.
Elsewhere, having been so close on many occasions in recent times, Dean Harrison broke his duck to take his first two TT victories in 6 years by winning both Superstock races.
On his way down Glencrutchery Road, riding to victory in the open. There he is! Winner of the RL360 Superstock TT Race 1 will be Dean Harrison.
I've been trying, obviously. Everyone will tell you how hard it is to win it, to get on a podium tight enough. Never mind win one, so no, it's been a tough week, I'll be honest with you. I've been a bit up and down, but no, I've had a 3-2 and now a 1. Everyone waving their arms over the fence and spurring me on.
Davey Todd claimed his third TT win in 2 years by emerging victorious in a fiercely contested superbike race.
Now we wait for Davey Todd. Will it be a third TT win for Davey Todd? Here he is. And it is. Todd wins by 1.2 seconds.
The boys have done a fantastic job, and man, it feels sweet. It's our own team. It's our team.
And in the sidecars, Manx brothers Ryan and Callum Crowe were the undisputed three-wheel champions, not only taking two victories, but during the first race setting an astonishing new sidecar TT lap record.
All eyes on the timing screen to see what they have managed to do on 37.73 miles. Here they come. Victory for the Crows. And a sensational new lap record, 121.021 miles per hour. Wow!
That was some ride, that, by Ryan. Oh, it's been a long week. It's been a very long week, but very well done with Gary Thompson. I just want to say a massive thank you to all my team.
Honestly, Chris, I didn't intend it. I didn't think that would come. It's that windy out there. But yeah, it was just mint the whole way around. It was lovely. Couldn't knock it at all.
And as the 2 weeks reached its finale, the centrepiece senior race beckoned on Saturday the 6th of June. However,
certainly not ideal. Drier than I expected, if I'm honest, but still damp in sections. But the wind is pretty bad, actually. That's probably my biggest concern.
I ain't comfortable in that, and ideally to have fun. That's no fun.
Look, the sun's shining in the Trek Straw, so it is nice. The wind is a bit hectic, especially over the mountain. It is blowing around a little bit. The conditions aren't ideal, but the Trek Straw.
Would you be happy to race then?
I'd ride, for sure I'd ride.
It's windy, but you can sort of live with wind because it's not really blustery, it's just a constant wind. The track's dry, you know, and we've been going out with it damp all week and everyone thinks it's all right. Been out in way worse, so I don't really understand why people are complaining.
The weather reared its head again ahead of the biggest race of the meeting, and Mother Nature would have the final say, as conditions meant clerk of the course, Gary Thompson, had to make this kind of announcement for only the second time in the event's 118-year history.
The general feeling is that it is unsuitable for racing tonight. Bearing in mind rider safety, I'm afraid that the senior race for 2025 is cancelled.
And so, for only the second time since the event started in 1907, with the exception of World Wars, foot and mouth disease in 2001, and the COVID pandemic in 2020 and 2021, the senior race was cancelled.
It's been a difficult 2 weeks in terms of weather. I think, and I speak on behalf of the whole of race control and all the officials, that unfortunately we are one race short. We've missed the senior, but we have delivered, I think, a really, really good TT.
And so an anticlimactic end to a frustrating TT 2025 for all involved, but an event which nevertheless still added another chapter to the TT story. And away from TT 2025 in June, some other notable events elsewhere. Callum Gawne and Samantha Bowden are crowned the men's and women's winners of the 2025 Parish Walk. And in tennis, former Isle of Man player Billy Harris gets his name into the gentlemen's singles tournament at Wimbledon, reaching the second round before defeat to Nuno Borges at the start of July. The non-stop summer continued into July, and the month began with a very special year for one of the Isle of Man's other iconic motorsport events.
The sign to watch the lights is there, the revs are up, who's getting the start? Todd's good at these, he's good again at the back. Let's go down to Chris Kinley.
Yeah, Davey Todd says he likes a start on an 810 BMW, and he's got the whole shot. He's got Dean Harrison, but he's got Michael Dunlop in behind him.
The Southern 100 Road Races returned in glorious sunshine on the Balloon course for the event's Platinum Jubilee year, with the gripping action matching this milestone occasion. Among the headlines, we saw Davey Todd retain his solo championship crown, beating Dean Harrison to the top honours by less than half a second in a pulsating contest.
Here's the front two, and a punch of the air as he takes a triumph, and it's a hat-trick for Davey Todd. Dean Harrison, second.
Mega that, innit? It's, pretty cool to be doing battle with Dean out there. He's so quick around this place, and Michael too, and we know this is the one that everybody wants.
Meanwhile, in the sidecars, and having already taken a TT double last month, local brothers Ryan and Callum Crowe set a stratospheric new outright sidecar lap record at Balloon on their way to claiming the sidecar championship.
Here they come, here they come. They are Southern 100 champions, sidecar champions. Ryan and Callum Crowe take the chequered flag, take the honours, take the outright lap record.
I just gave the boys plenty of space and I didn't think I was going to catch up, to be fair, but I just gripped my teeth in it and went for it.
I knew I was in for a ride on that one. It wasn't easy, that one. I was flat out every lap, not one bit of rest.
And as the chequered flag came down at Balloon, the Manx flag then lifted off, bound for Orkney, as a big Manx contingent headed on their way to the 2025 International Island Games.
It is with great pleasure that I have the honour to officially open the 20th Island Games in Orkney 2025. All
Over the course of several unforgettable days in Orkney from the 12th to the 18th of July, Team Isle of Man went on to secure a staggering 80 medals across the competitions. Far too many medals, therefore, to go through every single one right now, but here's just a taste of some of the successes. A memorable moment on day one in the triathlon, as Clara Isaac secured the Isle of Man's first medal in the women's race in what was her Island Games debut.
The atmosphere is incredible, and I'm not used to this heat. I am a proper cold-blooded person, so it did take a little bit of getting adjusted to, but I was pouring water over my head, trying to take deep breaths. It was fantastic.
A year to remember also for the Isle of Man men's golf team, who took individual gold and silver as well as team gold.
At the start, we set out as a team, we're a team, and we all said, listen, we want gold at the end of the day. And we've come away with gold, and the lads have come away with individuals, and I don't think you can ask for a better week, if I'm honest.
Elsewhere, and hugely successful at the Island Games in previous years, it was another good event for swimmer Laura Kinley, who overcame injury challenges to be part of the squad in Orkney.
At one point in the last year, I didn't think it would happen. I didn't swim for 6 months last year out of injury, so yeah, I'm delighted with my performance. This is my 7th Games now, so I've been doing it a long time, so if I can pass anything I've learned over the years, yeah, that's amazing to see as well.
The Isle of Man's cycling team medalled in every event they entered. At the heart of it was Tyler Hannay, who claimed 3 individual medals, including 1 gold in the men's time trial.
It was amazing, really. People, just the local people, just getting behind it, which was great, and a lot of Manxies out there, which really does, and when you see a Manx flag, it does sort of perk you up. I know that's such a cliche thing to say, but I mean, anybody who's done this sort of event and had a Manx flag, it really does perk you up.
And in athletics, several Manx competitors excelled, none more so than Krista Kane, who claimed gold in all three races she was involved in and also claimed a games record on her way to winning the women's 10,000 metres.
I can't quite believe it, to be honest. It's my first ever 10,000 track race. I've raced on the road, obviously, but 25 laps is just something else. The crowds were absolutely incredible. So grateful for the support.
The 80 medals the Isle of Man claimed overall far exceeded the total of 63 they managed at the previous games in Guernsey in 2023. And away from the games in July, the island got 8 new British champions crowned in jiu-jitsu as Summit Grappling Academy wrapped up its latest British Championships campaign. David Malarkey takes a silver medal at the World University Games in athletics, and young cyclist Cameron Hounsell wins gold at the UK's National Youth and Junior Track Championships. After a hectic July, a busy summer of Manx sport rolled on into August. One of the Isle of Man snooker players, Daryl Hill, is called up to represent Great Britain at the prestigious World Games in China.
Obviously, I've been liaising with Isle of Man sport quite a bit between them and Team GB, who I'm effectively representing and playing under as well. And from what all they can see, I'll be the first athlete, if you like, in any discipline to represent the island in the World Games. So that's quite an honour, quite exciting as well, really. I'm going to try and just enjoy every minute of it, really, and just enjoy being around that environment.
Elsewhere, Manx para darts player Darren Kennish retakes his spot at the top of the world wheelchair para darts standings. And amid all the latest developments across the board, one last hurrah for the Manx road racing season arrived at the end of August.
Good afternoon, welcome to a sun-kissed Isle of Man. We're here at the Manx Grand Prix and the Classic TT.
12 days of racing from the 17th to the 29th of the month saw not just the return of the Manx Grand Prix, but the comeback of the Classic TT after a six-year absence.
We're ready to go racing at the Manx Grand Prix 2025. Tap on the shoulder and away.
The opening week or so for MGP competitors was blessed with good weather, which helped the practice pace and the racing. Among the MGP winners this year was Manxman Jamie Williams. A year on from a big crash at the same event, he went on to win both the junior and supersport races.
It's Jamie Williams! Jamie Williams with a double at the Manx Grand Prix. The gap at the end, 3.233 seconds. Number two, Jamie Williams has over number eight, Toby Shan.
I'm a little bit speechless. I'm just so happy this has happened. And it's more so for the team and everybody that's put everything into it, Beth. I mean, all of them have worked their socks off all weekend. It's pretty special. Double Manx Grand Prix winner, get that in ya.
Meanwhile, the Super Twin MGP title went the way of Lewis Arrowsmith, and in the senior race, a truly epic race saw Kevin Canny, a newcomer in 2024, take top spot in the most dramatic of circumstances.
He's got 5 seconds to get here. Looking up the road, has he got enough? Has he done enough? He has! Kevin Canny takes the win by half a second! Kevin Canny, with a newcomer last year, has taken the Manx Grand Prix senior title by half a second.
I can't. There's no words. Just look, hey, before I say anything, I just want to thank every single person who's believed in me, all my family, any single person. Look, I know the emotions are high. I don't want to forget anyone. There's so many people who deserve a mention.
As the Manx Grand Prix wrapped up, the spotlight turned to the Classic TT. However, after an MGP week of glorious conditions, Mother Nature brought bad weather crashing down when the Classics were coming out to play, causing havoc with the racing schedule.
I'm trying to keep roads as open as long as possible to minimise the disruption to the public. I also want to say thank you to the competitors, to all the officials, to all the marshals. You know, the programme is going to be a bit flexible, so you know, again, I thank you for your patience and resilience.
As with much of the Isle of Man TT races in May and June, poor conditions caused plenty of headaches for that man, clerk of the course Gary Thompson, and his team, as well as competitors, teams and residents. Despite the challenges, a trio of Classic TT races served up plenty of entertainment. In the historic Senior Classic, Mike Brown snatched victory by less than 0.3 of a second on the Peter Lodge Racing Norton.
Across the line, it's Mike Brown! Oh my goodness me! 1/4 of a second, 0.269, wow!
There's a few pit boards around, but I read it wrong to Gooseneck. I thought it said P1 plus 10, and I really rolled off there coming through the nook and stuff, and then I realised when I came in it was P1 plus naught, so I got away with that one.
There was a memorable moment elsewhere for Northern Irishman Paul Jordan, who claimed his first ever Snaefell Mountain Course victory in the historic Junior Classic.
Paul Jordan across the line, and the Classic TT win will go to Paul Jordan by 9 seconds.
It's always nice to get in here, you know. I didn't unfortunately ever got to come in here at the TT, so because of other reasons, but yeah, I get to go up here and stand up in front of everybody again, and yeah, I'm over the moon.
And there was a very familiar name which came out on top in the popular lightweight race, with Michael Dunlop roaring to success nearly a minute ahead of his nearest challenger.
Feeling good all week, the B250, it's running well, and you know, what's nice for me, this is I came with this to the Manx, it's 250, and I've always wanted to win a 250 race right in here, so I've won a 125 race, and won a 250 race, and it's just a nice thing to have.
But all involved weren't going to have it all their own way, as just like during the TT earlier in the summer, the weather had the last laugh ahead of the much anticipated Senior Classic race.
Gary Thompson, the clerk of the course, just addressing the paddock to say that they've just run a full course assessment. It is too wet to run superbikes, and this class unfortunately out on the road, so he's called it that race will not now happen.
That meant that not only the classic superbikes had been denied their grand finale, but that those superbikes wouldn't race at all at this year's event after the Formula One race earlier in the week had also been called off due to the conditions. The end of August brought the curtain down on the latest Manx road racing season, and of course heralded the arrival of September. A good start to the month for Manx pro cyclist Matthew Bostock, who gets named in the Great Britain team for the 2025 Tour of Britain. And closer to home, September marked the start of new seasons in Manx football, rugby and hockey. The annual Isle of Man Championships in tennis were held in the weekend going into September, with Ori Farmworth and Charlotte Clark successfully defending their respective men's and women's singles titles at Douglas Lawn Tennis Club. And speaking of tennis, former Island tennis star Billy Harris secures his first ever ATP Challenger title, winning the men's singles competition at the Cassis Open in France. The Isle of Man Triathlon Championships attract a big turnout in tough conditions at Morag Park in Ramsey, with Will Draper and Clara Isaac taking the men's and women's standard distance titles respectively. For Draper, the good times in 2025 kept on coming, having already earned several wildcard entries to the prestigious T100 Triathlon World Tour during the year. He went even better in September as he won the European Long Distance Triathlon Challenge in Amsterdam.
I kind of waited because I knew how fragile you are at the end of these races, so I thought I'm going to wait and do it as hard as I can and just hope that he can't go any faster. And I've had a few sprint finishes this year and came out on top, so I backed myself, and yeah, it worked in the end.
Back to two-wheeled racing and to Manx trial star Caitlin Adsed, who becomes a European champion, winning the trial ECW class of the Trials European Championship. Also during September, Adsed finished a strong fourth in the FIM Women's Trial World Championship, while she and Great Britain finished third at this year's Trial de Nations. Mid-September also saw the finale to the latest Andrus Racing Association Championship campaign at Jerby, with multiple winners crowned during the seventh and final round, including Jamie Kringle becoming this year's solo centre champion, Kyle Casement winning the Supersport Championship, as well as Ryan and Callum Crowe taking a clean sweep of sidecar titles in the driver and passenger standings. And heading into the later stages of the month, a big shake-up in football and for FC Isle of Man.
Some breaking sports news in the last half hour. FC Isle of Man have announced manager Paul Jones is stepping down with immediate effect. The club says the decision comes following much discussion and review. In a statement, the Ravens say the club would like to place on record its immense gratitude to Paul for his enormous contribution over many years.
FC Isle of Man manager Paul Jones steps down as manager after nearly 3 years in charge of the side and following a poor run of results since the start of the latest NWCFL Premier Division campaign at the end of July. And as one chapter ends for the Ravens, another one begins, as former Manchester City player Rick Holden takes up the role as manager on an interim basis.
Yeah, they were a bit wary at first, you know, it was this sort of thing, you could see them scoping me out a bit. It would have been good as gold if done everything we've asked, sort of slightly new for them, some of the stuff, but the footballers, and get on with it.
Whilst the ARA Championship in motorsport came to an end on Ireland earlier in the month, for some of the competitors there was one more big challenge, as a big Isle of Man team headed to East Fortune in Scotland for the returning Celtic Match races against Ireland, Scotland and Wales. During an event making its return after a 15-year hiatus, Team Isle of Man went on to finish third in the meeting. And in martial arts, Manx fighter Alana Pritchard heads to Georgia at the end of the month to represent Team England at the IMMAF World Championships. And the start of October saw Alana Pritchard reap the rewards out in Tbilisi as she claimed her second world title in the senior women's super welterweight division, repeating the feat she managed at the same championships in 2024.
Yeah, it feels really good. It was nice to like cement it again and be able to kind of just show that I can not just do it once but do it twice. Obviously it's like a tournament based, so being able to approach each fight as it comes as well, like just taking confidence from last year, I think, as well. And I've had a few fights in between that, so I've learned quite a bit. And just being able to implement that into this year's tournament as well.
For Ireland-born amputee footballer Sean Jackson, their success across the water, as he and Everton successfully defend their EAFA League title. The Chris Kelly Memorial Rally made a return in 2025 in October in motorsport, with Niall McGonigal and Keelan McKenna scooping top spot. For the third time this year, athlete Krista Kane breaks the Isle of Man Women's Marathon record in Chicago, beating her own previous benchmark set in London earlier in the year by nearly 2 minutes. TT legend Ian Locker announces his retirement from road racing, bringing to an end a 42-year career on the Snaefell Mountain course, during which time he claimed 12 TT victories. Manx pro cyclist Lizzie Holden announces she will be retiring from the sport at the end of the season, bringing to an end a stellar career that has seen her compete on the likes of the Women's World Tour and at the Commonwealth Games, as well as being crowned British Elite Women's Time Trial Champion in 2023.
The opportunities I had to ride for myself in the Commonwealth Games, even just to represent the Isle of Man there, was like, it's incredibly special. And then obviously the TT Champs in 23. And I mean, one highlight actually was being a part of when the Women's Tour de France started, and to be a part of that was incredible, and like just seeing the growth in women's cycling is amazing.
Back to athletics, and Ireland athlete Sarah Webster is crowned world champion at the IAU 24-hour World Championship in France and sets a new women's world record in the process. And in darts, there was double delight for Manx Paradarts competitor Callum Brew, first off winning the Hungarian Paradarts Masters before being crowned World Paradarts Champion in Budapest at the 2025 World Paradarts World Championships. And elsewhere, after one martial arts success for the Isle of Man at the start of October, to one at the end of October as well, as Hayley Curtis claims two European gold medals at the IBJJF European No-Gi Championships in Rome. Heading into the final stages of 2025 and November, with plenty still happening in Manx sport both on island and further afield. For the Manx powerlifting team, a big milestone, as they set their highest ever points total at the Home Nations Championship, racking up 780.3 points in Birmingham. And not only that, it's revealed that, for the first time, the Isle of Man will host the championships in 2026.
I think it's going to be incredible to reflect on the event afterwards and see what we're, as I say, our tiny little island for our really new association can produce. I also think that having Commonwealth next year as something for people to aim towards, putting in qualifying totals that are achievable for men and women is really helping.
Motorsport, and having been recognised in this year's King's Birthday Honours List a few months previous, Michael Dunlop, the most successful TT rider of all time, receives his MBE at Windsor Castle for services to motorcycle racing. More headlines for the Isle of Man around martial arts, as taekwondo athlete Nino Ontoy wins three gold medals during this year's British Taekwondo National Pumse Championships. From the mat to the pool, and no fewer than 18 national titles are decided at the NSC in Douglas during the 2025 Isle of Man Swimming Championships, including several new Manx records at senior and junior level. For the third year running, the Manx Rally claims a national award, specifically the Pro Tyre Asphalt Championship Rally of the Year accolade. And more in motorsport, and a change for TT competitor Connor Cummins. The Ramsey Rocket announces he's setting up a new team, Conrod Motorsport, to take on the mountain course next year.
I'm going into this with my eyes wide open, because money's going to make this team go round. It's as simple as that. I appreciate that the world's in a very weird sort of place at the minute with everything, and I need backers to make this happen. I'm not shy of putting the effort in. That's how I've growing my business. I'm just being realistic, and I'm only going to know if I try, so I'm right up for it.
In boxing, an Ireland fighter, Jamie Devine, makes it 10 unbeaten at professional level in November as he claims victory over Christopher Asicho Ocheno in Kenya. The champions of the 2025 Mixed Hockey League season are confirmed during the same month, with Backers A winning the Mixed Premier League, Valkyries B taking Mixed Division 1, Castletown Camags winning Mixed Division 2, and Valkyries D winning Mixed Division 3. And back in cycling, a name we've heard already. Tyler Hannay, having stepped away from professional cycling earlier in the year, announces that looking into 2026, he'll be turning his skills and efforts to triathlon.
This is from someone who hasn't run and someone who hasn't swum, so I am starting from zero. With that means I am going to be doing some running races, some bike races, some triathlons on the Isle of Man, further abroad. I want to be as fit as I can and compete in as much as I can, because, yeah, life is too short to not try different things.
And more from boxing at the end of November as pro competitor Jay Burden defeats former English and Commonwealth title contender Lindsay Bashinsky in Blackpool to go 4 undefeated at pro level and scoop her second victory of the calendar year. And so, after the journey which began in January, we now find ourselves in the final days of December. Time then, I think, to hear from those who've been at the centre of much of the action over the last 12 months. Throughout each year, the stories we hear and the coverage we have wouldn't be possible without our dedicated team of Manx Radio Sport correspondents operating throughout the season. Tony Meppam at the heart of Manx football, Dave Christian across all the latest rugby action, and Ben Cunningham with his finger on the pulse of Manx hockey, all of whom bringing the action to you throughout the campaigns. It seems only fitting then that the final word on their sports this year should go to them, whilst they also look ahead to what's potentially to come in 2026. So first off, we're going to take a little bit of a look back at the Ardman's football scene in what's been another busy 2025 with our dedicated football correspondent, Tony Meppam. And Tony, starting with the local leagues quite generally, from an overall perspective, how would you say things have gone compared to recent years?
I think pretty good, really. And we've been working on the strategy of the Alaman FA and everything, and just looking at where the problems might be in football. And there's one that we've always had, Rob, and you'll have noticed it, is the lack of referees. And unfortunately, the end of 25 has proven a real problem, because we've got weekends now where we're struggling to get a referee on each game, so it's hard going. And the reason why, I don't know, maybe, you know, we keep saying that the players show a bit of disrespect in the games, but the referees have the cards to deal with that. That's been really hard. But I think looking back at the Island games, the men did really well. Chris Bass in his first senior competition as manager, Wayne Leesey's a seasoned pro now, just delighted that they both came back with medals. In general, it's good. The junior numbers, the junior league, and new chairman there in Nick Cowell is absolutely running like clockwork. The whole running of junior football, which takes the pressure off maybe one man, I think that's been a bit of a success story.
You've already touched on one topic there. There have been plenty of talking points and some criticism towards the FA on certain things with regards to, you mentioned referees as well, recent debate around the development of the women and girls game as well. So crucially, where does the solution come from? Because whilst there's plenty of comments that work is ongoing, that these problems seem to still be stacking up.
They do seem to be stacking up. Let's have a look at the women's game of football. Towards the end of the year, we've lost our women's development officer, Jamie Lee Burns, who did an absolutely incredible job. We've got two new teams back in, which is Rushen and Union Mills. They've been in there before, so you know, it's been key personnel to get it going. We're always looking to increase it. A lot of the criticism we get is people asking questions that really we have no control over the answers. One being the age band, you know, girls and women's football. Why can't 15-year-olds play in senior women's football with parental consent? I've done it personally since I've been president, hammered the door down at the FA, and the talent's there, but they just haven't the delay for 1 year from playing in their age bands, girls' football, and then suddenly 15 to 16, it all comes to a stop, and we're losing people. And how come hockey can do it? How come netball can do it, but football can't? And I think it's a real problem for us to deal with that, and the English FA need to try and help us.
Looking into 2026, what are the biggest things that Manx football as a whole has to achieve, away from individual clubs or players, for the game as a whole to keep Manx football moving forward?
I think the junior setup is good. You know, the junior league are very lucky that they've got some fantastic clubs out there who work tirelessly to get these junior teams out. Big tick for me for the junior league. The Isle of Man senior men, we need to find some more fixtures for them, but before that we need to find a sponsor, because, you know, running football clubs and running the FA is expensive stuff now, and we can't, like before, we take a chance and hopefully cover the costs. We can't do that now. Everything's budgeted for in the FA. It has to be that way, Rob. Certainly the big one for us is that the referees, we need to find more referees, and we're starting to do more courses. But I think there has to be a joined up method between the club and the FA. I think we've lost that at the moment, and we need to remedy that. We're a little bit apart with the connection, and whether it's just down to the way the world is, I don't know.
Turning our attention here right at the end of 2025 to rugby and our rugby correspondent Dave Christian. Dave, it's been another busy year in so many different areas. Come to Douglas first of all in 2025. So come the end of last season, in the latter stages of 2025, their highest ever finish in Regional 2 Northwest, and as we speak right now, a positive start to the latest season. So what's been the key, do you think, to Douglas having that little bit of progress?
It's kind of odd, Rob, because when you look at the results from the early part of 2025, they started the year with 3 defeats on the bounce. They've managed to pick themselves up. They finished off the season with 5 wins on the bounce and were up to 5th. It started poorly, picked up, went well, and then the latter part of 2025, they're up there challenging at the top end. Fair play to Phil and his guys down there. They're working hard, and if they keep it up, they'll get their reward.
In Canterstone ADM Lancashire and Cheshire, Vagabonds had a tough season last season, so they got more Manx company in there now. Ramsey have rejoined for the first time in 5 years the English club system in the same league as Vagabonds. They found it difficult at the start of this season as well. So for these two teams, where do they try and find the positives in the long run? Are there more positives going on behind the scenes in both teams?
Oh, definitely. And the way to understand that better is to look back at another season to 23-24. Vagabonds were in counties four. What happened over the closed season between April 24 and September 24 is that some clubs left the league system. That meant there weren't quite enough teams for two leagues at the bottom end, so they merged what was left with four with three, and that's automatically thrown up mismatches. Ramsey have come in and they're experiencing the same difficulties that Faggers had after the divisions three and four merged. They're finding that the level of the opposition with some of the top teams in the league is much bigger. There's a much bigger gap than they initially thought. What will happen is the players who are experiencing these games and these defeats against these tougher sides will learn from that, and we'll find that perhaps next season, assuming all goes well and both remain in the league system, I think next season they'll be a little bit tougher.
Turning to Vagabonds Ladies now, it's been a team in a bit of transition as well, some of the more experienced players stepping away, newer faces coming in. It just seems to be that there's such a positive attitude for these new players. But as we speak, in Women's NC2 North South, it's been a relatively positive start for them this season after a positive end to the previous campaign as well. So how much potential is there, do you think, in this Vagabonds Ladies squad going into 2026 to kick on, really?
Yeah, well, at the back end of the 24-25 season, they finished with two W's. Two more points would have given them third place in the standings, and seven more points or two more wins would have given them a promotion spot. So they weren't that far away. New players are in and out all the time. They've got, obviously, we mentioned Freya Crowe a number of times in preview and in match commentaries. Elsewhere in the team, there's plenty of other talent. And when you've got novices playing with what are very experienced rugby players, the only thing that will happen is the novice is going to get better. And they're really good at that, Vagabonds. If Vagabonds can get a full strength side out every week, home and away, they're going to go on and on to better things.
We mustn't forget that there are a couple of other clubs in the likes of Southern Nomads and Western Vikings. We do have the likes of the local competitions such as the Manx Cup, and the likes of Vikings and Nomads are involved in the Cheshire Bowl. But it's been a source of debate as to the situation and the future, really, of the local game. Where do we stand going into 2026?
Depends, I guess, which competition. We've obviously had the Cheshire games ongoing. Nomads have been away for some independently arranged friendlies. They've also got the Manx Shield. Douglas Celts have joined that to replace Ramsey. We've still got a three-team competition. The local game's given an outlet for players to get a game probably once every two or three weeks, and we've seen players from Nomads and Western Vikings turning out for Vagabonds and Ramsey in their league teams. There's loads of youth rugby coming through in the under-17s, under-16s, under-15s. Streams of players coming through from all clubs. We've just got to make sure there's something for them there to enjoy when they actually turn old enough to play senior.
And of course, we mustn't forget that it has been a busy calendar year once again for Manx hockey, both on and off island. Very busy across the respective leagues locally, and of course plenty of the Isle of Man's national teams at both senior and junior level involved in respective competitions throughout the course of the year. Ben, to start with, quite a general point, really, looking at the participation in hockey, it's something that's come up quite a bit as well, and speaking recently, actually, with the MHA's development officer, Rachel Andrew, as well, that she said around 1,000 participants in Manx hockey in some capacity or another at the moment, in both senior and junior level. What do you think this says for not just the popularity of the sport here on the island, but the opportunities it provides people of all ages, again, throughout the course of the year?
It definitely says that hockey has got a place on the island. There's a lot of interest, as you say, like Rachel said, there are over 1,000 people playing the sport, which is great to hear and great to see, because with more people playing, the leagues are more competitive.
Let's look back on the season quite generally then. What have been some of your highlights, would you say?
Definitely the mixed leagues this year have been really competitive. I mean, the final day of the season, mixed division one, having four teams, 13 mathematical ways that it could have gone either way to any of them teams, was a great conclusion to the end of the season for that division. The men's and ladies as well have been really competitive, some very close games in all the divisions in them leagues. And then for the senior teams, of course, travelling across, of course, the Island Ladies B getting through to the final and just losing the final on penalty strokes, which was massive heartbreak. But a fantastic achievement for them getting into that final.
And just coming back to a word you've used a couple of times there, the competitive nature of it as well. And one thing that's been brought up quite a few times in recent years is the fact that that competitive nature is available at different tiers as well. Yes, you've got the respective Premier League divisions up at the top there, but there's everything else beneath that as well. And also like the likes of the Mixed Under-15s League that runs regularly throughout the year. So is there still a belief, do you think, coming toward the end of the year, that going into 2026, there's still going to be opportunities available for people of all different abilities?
Absolutely. And I mean, we are working to make sure that not only the junior side of hockey is getting more and more development, but also giving the opportunity for senior players as well to have their opportunity to play in the England Hockey Championships as well.
One thing that is always a source of debate across Manx sport in so many different disciplines is the importance and the need for volunteers to be helping out in non-playing roles as well. And when it comes to hockey, specifically the likes of umpiring roles, roles within the likes of the Manx Hockey Association. How have things been over the past year in terms of getting more people into these positions that are behind the scenes and away from the action on the pitch, but are nevertheless incredibly important?
Umpiring-wise, I'm pleased to say that we had an influx of 20 new umpires train up, which was great to see, and they're all now umpiring from the junior league right up to the senior league, which is great to see. As for the MHA board side of things, all the roles are currently filled, but if there are people out there listening and they think they could be a help, then by all means go to the Manx Hockey Association's Facebook page, and I'm sure there'll be contacts there that you can communicate and express your interest.
And so we bring the curtain down on Manx Sport in 2025 and your latest sports review of the year here on Manx Radio. Thank you so much for joining us now and throughout the year. We can't wait to bring you the next chapter in Isle of Man Sport in 2026. Until then, this is Rob Pritchard and the Manx Radio Sport Team wishing you a very happy new year. Until next time, bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.